Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to be in the book of Philippians as our starting point, chapter number 2. So please turn with me, if you would please, to Philippians chapter number 2. In Philippians chapter number 2, we're going to begin reading together in verse number 5 down to verse 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We see from our passage that before you can go up, you first must go down. Jesus is our example in the passage, is he not? Jesus left his home in glory and came down to a sin-sick world. He humbled himself and took on the form of a man. He was obedient and submitted to the Father's will for his life. Yes, my friend, he endured the cross. He was crucified. He shed his sinless, precious blood. He died on that cruel tree. Amen. And he did all of that to save mankind. What a Savior. What a Savior he is, amen? As a result of his going down, humbling himself, being obedient, and being submitted to the Father's will, we see in the same passage his going up, his exaltation. God the Father has highly exalted him above everything and everyone else. It's the same way for the Christian. If he goes down now and suffers for Christ, and someday he will go up, he will be exalted. The problem with a lot of Christians today, my friend, is they want the crown without the cross. And my friend, you cannot get the crown without first taking up the cross. Look with me, if you would, in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. Notice what the Word of God says. If we suffer, talking about the Christian, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. And of course, the him here in the verse is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what it's referring to, if we will suffer now in this life, if we will humble ourselves and go down, someday we will be exalted. If we suffer for Christ now, someday we will reign with him when he returns with the church to set up his literal physical kingdom of heaven on this earth for 1,000 years. If you want to reign, then you have to suffer. If you want to go up, my friend, you've got to go down first. Amen. However, this is not the focus of our study today. My focus is on verses 10 and 11 of Philippians chapter 2. Let's go back there. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. The scriptures tell us that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Amen. Every knee. No one's going to be left out. Every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every knee. Things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. What do we know that's under the earth? Hell. Amen. You know, Christians sometimes like to get on their high horse and apply these two verses that we just read to the unsaved wicked sinner, past, present, and future, who will someday bend their knee and confess Christ as Lord. After all, Jesus is the Lord of glory, is he not? And after all, he is, as we're told in Revelations chapter 19, Jesus Christ is the Lord of lords. Someday the devil, yes, the devil and his fallen angels, will bow the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ and confess Jesus as Lord. Someday men like Adolf Hitler, Al Capone, Alexander the Great, Napoleon, John F. Kennedy, all the Roman Catholic popes, Muhammad, Confucius, Buddha, Joseph Smith, Albert Einstein, every false religious leader, every so-called captain of industry, every political leader, every military leader, and every educational leader shall someday shall bow their knee before Jesus and confess him as Lord. Amen. However, I believe that these verses also apply to the Christian. You see, most Christians have a lordship problem. And that's what I want to speak for a little while today on, the lordship of Jesus Christ in the Christian's life. The lordship of Jesus Christ in the Christian's life. I believe most Christians today struggle with making Jesus Christ as Lord of their life. By Lord of their life, I mean the supreme authority of their life. I mean the one that rules on the throne of their heart. You know, there are some that teach in order to be saved, an individual has to not only accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, but they also have to make him Lord of their life. And all I can say, if that was the case, not too many folks would be saved, would they? The scriptures say that a person is saved by receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior by faith into their heart, believing that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day to pay for their sins and keep them from going to the lake of fire. You see, the scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ is to have the number one place in our hearts if he's to be Lord over all of our life. Notice with me what the first and greatest commandment is. Look with me, if you would, first in the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 with me, if you would. In Mark chapter 12, let's look at verses 28 to 30. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "What is the first commandment of all?" They came and they asked Jesus, "What is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Then also with me in Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 36, someone came to Jesus and said, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Notice also what the Christian is told to seek first. Amen. He's told in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. And his righteousness. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Christian is told to seek ye first. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. Notice what Christ admonished the church at Ephesus for doing. Over there in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, Jesus addresses the seven churches. And in Revelation chapter 2, first he talks and he commends the church at Ephesus for what they're doing right. But then he admonishes them. And he admonishes them because they left thy first love. In other words, they left off loving the Lord Jesus Christ, making him Lord over their church. And what this shows is a church collectively can have a lordship problem just as much as an individual Christian can. And today a lot of churches do have a lordship problem. And the reason for that is their focus is no longer Christ, but nickels and noses. In other words, all they're focused on now is how big the offering is and how many they're running on a Sunday morning. Colossians chapter 1 in verse number 18 tells us that Christ is to have the preeminence in all things. Now that word preeminence means precedence, priority of place, superiority in rank or dignity. The thing to remember is this, my friend. If Jesus is not Lord of all, then he is not Lord at all. Amen. I believe if you're struggling in any area of your Christian walk, then it all boils down to a lordship problem. See, Jesus, in other words, is not Lord over all areas of your life. Let's look at some things. If you're not in church, my friend, when the doors are open, except if you're providentially hindered, for example, if you're ill and you can't go to church, except if you're providentially hindered and you're not in church when the doors are open, then you have a lordship problem. Amen. You see, whatever keeps you out of church, then that's your Lord. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if Jesus Christ was Lord of your life, you would be in church every time the doors are open, unless you were providentially hindered in some way. If you don't tithe to your local church, support missionaries, and try to meet the needs of others, then it all boils down to you have a lordship problem. What or whoever you give your money to instead of the church, then that is your Lord. Amen. The reason you don't pray like you should is because you have a lordship problem. If you spend more time watching television, amen, instead of getting down on your knees and having a time of family devotion, you have a lordship problem, my friend. The reason you don't witness for Christ or witness like you should, again, it all boils down to you have a lordship problem. I hate sounding like a broken record, amen, but that's what it comes down to. If Jesus Christ is not Lord over all areas of your life, amen, then you're going to have a struggle in your Christian walk. If you're not making him first in all areas of your life, if he does not have the preeminence, then you're going to have a struggle in your Christian walk. Amen. The reason some Christians enjoy fellowshipping with the lost or unruly Christians who cause problems in the church is because they have a lordship problem. Amen. The reason you spend more time watching television or listening to the radio than reading and studying your Bible, again, is because you have a lordship problem. The person who church hops, you have people that go hop from church to church to church, and they never commit, they never join a church, they never support that church with their tithe, their time, and their talent. Amen. It's because they have a lordship problem. Because the Lord Jesus Christ would have a saved individual, amen, belong to a New Testament church. Amen. A good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-preaching church that takes a stand on the AV 1611 King James Bible. You know, the person who comes to church, I mean, it amazes me, amen, how people come to church today, even in some so-called Bible-believing churches that take a stand on the AV 1611 King James Bible. The latest craze is women are slit happy. They're slit on the sides, the fronts, and the back, amen. Oh, they're long, but they show a lot, amen. You know what I mean, ladies. But the person who comes to church dressed like they're going to the beach or the park for the day, again, they have a lordship problem. The reason a person, after being saved, will not submit to believers' baptism is because they have a lordship problem. That's one of the first acts of obedience after a person is saved. Water baptism does not save you. That's has nothing to do with your salvation, but it's an act of obedience. We have example after example in the scripture where a believer was baptized after they were saved. We have the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. We have Cornelius and his family in Acts chapter 10. We have the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, totally immersed in water. And see, that baptism is a picture of burial. Because when you go down into the water, that's a picture of your burial. Your death to your old nature, and you come up out of the water, it's a picture of your resurrection to a new life in Jesus Christ, and also a picture of your future resurrection. But a person after being saved who will not submit to believers' baptism has a lordship problem. The reason some Christians have a troubled marriage. Amen. And the parents are saved and the kids are saved. It's because they have a lordship problem. Amen. And Christian young people, let me tell you something. I would not, amen, go out with another Christian or marry them unless Jesus was Lord of their life. If you do, you're asking for trouble. The reason Christians are having financial problems is because they have a lordship problem. If Jesus was Lord over your finances, then most likely you would not be having problems. The reason parents are having problems with their children is because there's a lordship problem in that family. Jesus is not Lord over the family like he should be. Amen. You need to have a time of devotion with your family every evening or whatever time is convenient, but you must do it. Amen. Your children have to see the things of God are more important than the television and the sports and all the other things. There's nothing wrong with sports and a little recreation, but Jesus Christ must come first. Amen. And if those other things come first in your life, then there's going to be problems within the family. Amen. The reason Christians are critical of their pastor is because they have a lordship problem. Amen. If they won't allow Jesus Christ to be Lord over their life, how could you expect that individual to allow the pastor to have authority, amen, over them according to what the scriptures have to say? Again, they won't. They won't submit to the authority of the pastor in that church. I'm not talking about those that are dictators and lorded over the people. I'm talking about being given to the pastor, amen. And if they don't, then they have a lordship problem. The reason Christians have problems with other Christians and can't get along is because of them. Church splits happen all the time. Amen. And you know what it is? It's not over doctrine. No. Reason being is that some members that cause the split have a lordship problem. Amen. Of you listening today can probably quote the 23rd Psalm. It's probably one of the most familiar passages of Scripture, amen? And it starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd." But can you really say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? You see, because a shepherd is someone you follow. Amen? A shepherd is someone you follow. Amen. And if Jesus Christ is not Lord of your life, then you're not following him. Amen. So is he really your shepherd? Can you really say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? I follow him on a daily basis. I listen to him. I'm obedient to him. I'm obedient to the Lord's will for my life. Amen. Check yourself out. Amen. If there's any area in your Christian walk that you're struggling with, it probably has to do with a lordship problem. Jesus Christ is not Lord in that particular area of your life. And he has to be all. He has to be Lord over all of your life. You know, we read there about the first and greatest commandment. I want us to go back just for a minute and look at that in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12 with me. Notice what it says. In thou, Mark chapter 12, verse 30. The first of all the commandments, the first and greatest commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. See, all thy heart. You can't be half-hearted. You can't love him with a divided heart. You have to love him with all your heart. Amen. And with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And if you'll do that, there isn't going to be any room for anything else, is there? If you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, if you love him with all of you, amen, then you can make him Lord of your life. That's what he wants. He's a jealous God. He wants all of us. And if you think about it, is that too much to ask? Because after all, the Lord Jesus Christ came down from his glory in heaven that he shared with the Father to this sin-sick world, and he took on the form of a man. He humbled himself. He was obedient to the Father's will for his life. He came to do the Father's will, and he finished it. He went to that cruel cross of Calvary. They beat him. They spit upon him. They ripped out his beard. They nailed him to the cross. He shed his precious blood so that all our sins could be forgiven. Isn't he worth making him Lord of our life? Amen. My friend listening today, if you claim to be saved, can you honestly say that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life? He wants to be. He wants to sit upon the throne of your heart. He wants to have the preeminence in all things. Won't you let him do just that? Won't you ask him right now, tell him right now, if you're listening, Jesus, I want to make you Lord over all of my life, all areas of my life. My friend, ask him to help you to do it. And you know what? He will. My friend, if you're listening today and you're not saved, you're not 100% sure when you die that you'll go to heaven. You're not claiming the shed blood of the sinless Savior to pay for your sins and save you from going to a sinner's hell. Then you need to be saved, my friend. Won't you be saved today? The Bible says to be saved, one must call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. And the reason you were to call upon the name of the Lord is because he is the only one with the supreme authority to save you. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the scripture says, neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My friend listening today, won't you call upon his name and be saved today? Well, my friends, that's all the time we have on the Pastor's Study. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me, Brother Gino Cassieri, for joining me today for the Pastor's Study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.